Well, I hope you enjoyed some hot cocoa this morning on our morning of sips that we did today. I see we only had one casualty this morning for hot cocoa, so that's we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. Can you believe that it is 2024 is almost gone? Christmas, yay, somebody said yay. Oh, must it's been a rough year, huh? It's been a rough year for some. That's probably true, you know. Some years are better than others. Christmas just gone in a blink. And although we celebrate the birth of Christ every year, let me remind us of last week's sermon that one of the greatest deceptions that was working its way into the early church was that Jesus was never here, right? That Jesus never happened, that he never, more specifically, that he never came in the flesh. That was one of the deceptions swirling around. So here in 1 John, which we read a little bit last week, we'll read some more this week, the Apostle John is addressing this huge issue, and this is only about 50 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. So it really wasn't that long before people started disregarding what Jesus had said. And really began coming up with even their own ideas about religion, about Christianity, and about who Jesus was. And I want to say this again, one of the most important Bible verses ever written is this: the Word became flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. In John chapter 1, verse 14, you can look that up on your own. His incarnation, meaning he took on flesh, his incarnation is the greatest proof of his love for the world. And because of that, you don't have to wonder if God loves you. You don't have to imagine whether he loves you. He does, because he showed you by coming in the flesh. Why is that so profound? Because if you don't believe that he came in the flesh, then you don't believe in this clear definition of love that we read last week from 1 John 4:10. Let's read it again. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. See, if he didn't actually come in the flesh, then he didn't actually do the atoning work on the cross. And what does that mean, the atoning work on the cross? Well, it means, atonement means paid for by sacrifice, paid in blood, paid in full. That is the atoning work of Christ on the cross. If none of that really happened, it makes the cross, this thing, a meaningless symbol. In fact, it's just hopeless without the incarnation. So if God really loved us by doing all this, what do we do with it? That's what I want to talk about today. I can never pay back God for all he has done, but I can love God back. That's what I can do. And I'd like to suggest today, as we close out the year, this is what God wants from us. He doesn't want his sacrifice repaid. We can't do that. But he would like to see his love reciprocated. That's something he longs for. Now, John tells us how we can actually respond to God's love the right way in the next chapter in 1 John. And I'm going to read it here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it says this: in fact, this is love for God, right? Before this is love, that God loved us. This is love for God, what? To keep his, what? Commands. And his commands are not burdensome. Now we're going to stop. That's actually the middle of a sentence. We're going to put a comma right there. Before we move forward, let's focus on that for a minute. It's pretty simple and clear cut. Some things are very simple and clear cut in God's word. If you love God, then you will keep his commands. In 1 John here, this is John speaking to the church, addressing the false teaching of his time, but he's only passing on what Jesus told him directly. We read that in John 15, but let me just say it. Jesus says to John and his disciples, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Commands are to be followed. Commands are not suggestions. And so the way to respond to God's great love is first and foremost an expression of obedience. Sometimes love feels initially like an emotional experience, doesn't it? There's a lot of feelings that we deal with, feelings in the flesh. But we said last week that love had to be something given. That's real love. Something given, not something taken. We can't give God the same thing that he gave us, but we can give God our obedience. So think of your obedience as a gift given back to God. Have you ever thought about that? How can I give God a gift? He's given me all these gifts. What kind of gift can I give to God? In 2025, that's the first time I've said that, 2025, give God your obedience. Think about that. We can't say that we love God unless we are obedient to his commands. Now, that sometimes when you start thinking about that, that can be a hard pill to swallow, right? Because we all know that we're not always living in perfect obedience to God's word, right? Some of us are on the struggle bus with that. It's a little difficult, but this is serious. It's more than just a bad hair day. Okay, we all know that we've done some things we shouldn't have done, probably in 2024. Some of you might want to kick that year back, you know, in the past. You're ready to get to 2025. So what we need to do is find out what are the commands he's talking about to follow. Jesus gives some very clear instructions about that. In fact, these are some of the last things he says to his disciples on the night before he died. Now, this is from the Gospel of John. John chapter 13, starting in verse 33, Jesus says this. He says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come." Jesus is leaving. He's going to die. So in verse 34, he says this, "A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." There it is. There it is. To love one another is what God commands us to do. It is the command that Jesus gave us. Now, I'm not sure how that sounds to you. Maybe it sounds too simple. Maybe it sounds difficult. Some people, maybe this is you, feel burdened by God's commands. to try to live up to these things. Maybe they feel unattainable, especially this one, because it's not always easy to love one another, right? Especially when you're mad at one another. Is anybody mad at someone this morning? Mad at the person next to him? Don't answer that. Maybe you're mad this morning. I don't know. But John tells us God's commands are not burdensome commands. And he insists on that fact, right? I'm feeling kind of burdened by that, actually. I don't know how to take that. You know, sometimes in my own family, we get mad at one another. Yeah, serious. We seriously get mad at one another from time to time. And sometimes I get mad at people. And sometimes I'm mad at people who are mad at one another. And that's what happens in life. But let's read the rest of the verse from 1 John 5:3, where we hit that comma. Let's read it again. It says, "In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." His ways are no longer burdensome because he has achieved the victory that we could not. And so what that looks like is that he has taken the massive burden of sin that was upon our shoulders, and he lifted it off of our shoulders, and he carried it in the flesh on his shoulders so that you no longer have to do all that would be necessary to pay for that sin. That is the burden he has carried. Now that is a heavy burden. Would you agree? Sin is a heavy burden. It's so heavy that even if we all lived 1,000 lifetimes, we would still never be able to carry that burden to the cross in the same way that Jesus did. Now, when you put love for others into perspective, and that his command is to love others now, this new command, when you put that into perspective of this heavy burden, all of a sudden, love seems like a much lighter load to carry, doesn't it? And you start to think to yourself, wow, what God has done for me is so massive. Loving people, that's easy. That's easy work. Right now, we said it's not always easy, but when you put it into perspective of what God has done, whew, that's easy work compared to what we should have carried. So I want you to just think for a minute. Think of someone, maybe that's a little hard to love. You have anyone in your life that's a little hard to love? Family members, people at work, people at church. Someone's pointing to someone over here. You're not supposed to do that. No, that was a point in love, I can tell. Think of someone that's hard to love. Maybe you have trouble loving that person. You might even be thinking, God, I can't love that person. But I want you to remember what Jesus did for you, the load he took off your shoulders, the burden we carry now. It's a different burden. It's only the burden of his commands, and that is to love. And because of that, I can learn. I can learn to love some of the people I haven't loved so much, even the ones that make me feel a bit uncomfortable. Right? There's a lot of those people. It's the easy work. That's what I want you to see. seems like the hard work, but it's actually the easy work, and it's a blessing that this is what God has commanded us to do now, instead of all that other stuff. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11. I'm just going to read it for you. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, it's not always easy to be a Christian and to serve God and to deny yourself, right? And to try to do everything that's right. But again, put it into perspective for what God has done, okay? I'll take that. I'll take that. And I can try. And I can step forward in love and love some people that maybe I haven't loved so much. Amen? Now notice from the passage from the Gospel of John, John 13, that we just read, Jesus speaks to his disciples as a father would speak to his children. He says, "My children," right? There's this sense of passing something on to them. He's passing this on. You know, when I give my child money, when I give my child a phone, y'all been there? When I give my child the keys to my car, hello. That is the season of life I'm in. I trust my kids, but it is a daily heart attack. You know what I'm talking about. I'm like, tracking, you know, did he get there? Is he okay? Okay, whew. When you do that, what else are you giving your child? You're giving more what? Responsibility. Whew. That's why it's hard to hand those keys over, because you're like, those keys represent a lot of responsibility, right? And now your child is driving around with your other child, and they're all in the hand, and even you, like, my life's in my child's hands in the car, all right? But I love him. You all know who I'm talking about. That's the problem with being a pastor at a church. I only have one 16-year-old, but I love him, and I trust him. And he passed his test with flying colors. All right? But there's a lot of responsibility. Because love is a command from God, and love is passed down from God, love is our responsibility. Amen? So before we move into a time of communion this morning, close out this year, just reflecting on what Jesus has done for us, there's three quick things I want you to carry into 2025, okay? And for you to contemplate today. All right, one, we are called and commanded to love others. Okay? We are called and commanded to love others. Not to earn love. It's not how love works. Not to repay love, but to give love. That's love. To give love, to pass on love, and to respond to God's love for us with love for others. This is how we glorify the Lord. And this is how people will know we are His disciples. Amen? So we are called and commanded to love others. Two, the second thing I want you to think about. His love is what truly defines you as a follower. It's His love. The love in your life from God. your love for others will be the best evidence of God at work in your life. Nothing else. That is the best. You can live this next year full of provision. You can live filled with passion. You can live surrounded by prosperity or popularity. But none of that will ever compare to the presence of God's love in your life. Amen? His love is what truly defines you as a follower. Amen. And the third thing is this. Real simple. We already said it. Give God a gift in 2025. Give him a gift. What is that gift? Obedience. Give him your obedience. Amen. We're going to move into a time of communion. And just let me give you a few instructions. If anyone is new here, I don't want you to be caught off guard, but we're going to have communion. You'll see that there's a communion in each corner of the room. And when I release you, feel free to go to that. Take the elements back to your seat and you can pray back in your seat. Now, you don't have to take communion. No one's going to judge you for that. But if you are a follower of Christ and you've given your heart to Christ and you can proclaim that he died for you, then you're free to take communion. If you can't say that, I would just stay right where you are and contemplate the things that we've talked about today. And if you need any help grabbing some, slip up your hand and we will bring that to you. But if you really think about communion, communion speaks of the love of Christ. And it provides the ultimate example, his death. And if you think about it, he was teaching us how to love one another. And he did it fully by the laying down of his life for his friends. And this is what Jesus told John personally. This is what he told John and the disciples. What we read today was what John told to the church. But here's what Jesus told to John. In John 15, verse 12, he says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And what we read before, you are my friends if you do what I command. And Jesus did lay his life down for his friends, didn't he? He did that. What a gift. What a gift we were given when Jesus came and died on the cross and lifted the burden of sin from our shoulders so that we could have a lasting relationship with him. The work of atonement is what he accomplished. And he never left us with a command to die on a cross. But he did say to take up your cross, didn't he? To take up your cross daily and follow him. Today, we don't follow Jesus exactly like the disciples did who were with him eating around a table. We follow Jesus by following his commands. And he commanded that we follow his example of love. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for setting the example. Thank you for your command to love. It's love that fulfills all of the law, everything that you desire. Love fulfills that when we act out of love, when we give to others, when we love others, as you said. And thank you for your example. And that on the night before you died, you explained this to your followers. And you took the bread, Lord, and you took the cup, and you said, "This is my body given for you, and this is my blood poured out for you." And when you do this in remembrance of me. And we remember that today. We remember your great love poured out for us. And Lord, let us learn from you that we would also pour out the love that we have for others. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed to receive communion.